News Talk 580 KMJ presents Hometown Heroes, honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to Hometown Heroes. It'll be an abbreviated version this afternoon because of Bulldog Baseball coming your way at 2:05. In fact, you're going to get sick of my voice today. We've got Hometown Heroes here, then Bulldog Baseball, then Bulldog Basketball later tonight. And we'll have the pregame show for baseball at 1:45. And we're going to talk a little baseball and Hometown Heroes today. Normally, you hear me visit with one World War II veteran for the duration of the show. This week, we are going to talk about that time period in our country's history, but from a little different angle. Because of what this weekend represents for Japanese Americans, it was on February 19th of 1942 that President Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed Executive Order 9066, forcing more than 120,000 Japanese Americans into internment camps. Many would stay there for the duration of the war. Many would sign up for the service and go overseas, most famously the 442nd Regimental Combat Team. You've heard veterans from that unit on this program before. Today, you're going to hear from another Japanese-American ball player who was sent to an internment camp, kept working on his baseball game, ended up being one of the greatest athletes in Fresno State history. That's Fibber Hirayama. And you'll also hear from a gentleman who I think a lot of people around the Valley don't realize everything that he's done to educate people about Nisei baseball through the Nisei Baseball Research Project. And if you've heard of the film American Pastime, then maybe you've heard of Kerryo Nakagawa, who joins me today up here in the broadcast booth at Biden Field. And I think all those ball players you've written about and done so much work with, Kerry, would love the weather we've got here today for baseball.
Oh, it's a perfect day for baseball, Paul. Thank you for so much for, you know, honoring one of our treasured ball players and our event that we have tomorrow. But yeah, today is an incredible day, and the popcorn, the hot dog smells are out here. And thank you for the invitation.
Well, you mentioned tomorrow. Now, last year, if people listened to this program, they heard plenty about it, and hopefully you've been out to see it. The Pinedale Assembly Center Memorial is completed and is a real jewel for the Valley, honoring the sacrifices that were made by Japanese Americans more than 65 years ago. And because of that work and it being completed, now people with the same kind of ambitions, especially the Japanese American Citizens League, have gotten behind putting a memorial at the Fresno Fairgrounds, which was the site of the Fresno Assembly Center, where more than 5,000 Japanese Americans were processed and sent on to internment camps during World War II. One of those, I believe, was Fibber Hirayama, who I believe we have on the line now. Fibber, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Now, take me back to December 7th, 1941. And I know that you were 5'3 when you were playing here at Fresno State. Maybe you weren't even 5'3 yet in December of 1941, growing up there in Exeter.
Well, but, as far as I'm concerned, I was.
You're supposed to say you were 6 feet then and you shrunk.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't quite that tall.
So you're in Exeter in December of 1941. What do you remember about that Sunday morning and hearing that Imperial Japan had attacked the United States at Pearl Harbor?
Well, I think the thing that I really didn't think too much about it, but my dad, you know, he was from Japan, and I remember that he was really panicked. He didn't know what to do.
And a few months later, you would be told what to do. You had no choice in the matter. When you heard about the United States government ordering all Japanese Americans on the West Coast to internment camps.
That's correct.
How horrible of a day was that, and how did your family deal with that?
Well, we were very fortunate because my dad worked at this big farm, and the owner of the farm, he gave us one of his packing houses. And so we were able to store all our clothing and furniture and in our automobile there, and he took care of it for us.
And that is quite the contrast to most Japanese American families in those circumstances. I've heard many tell me you're only allowed to bring what you can carry.
That is correct, and we were really lucky.
What do you remember about that Fresno Assembly Center at the fairgrounds?
You see, I didn't go to the Fresno Assembly Center.
Oh, I got it wrong.
No, I went to in April I was sent to Poston, Arizona.
Uh-huh. So you just went straight from Exeter there?
Correct.
Okay. Well, you can share with us what that was like. And I know you played plenty of baseball while you were there, but it wasn't all fun and games, I'm sure.
Well, I'll tell you, though, you know, at that young age, I thought it was great because when we first went into camp, there was no school. So I didn't have to worry about school. And we played a lot of baseball and football and whatever. And we had a great time.
Well, and you had some really great times at Fresno State. I'm going to ask you about that. Let me go back to Kerry here for a moment. I don't want to get past this event that is tomorrow at the Fresno Fairgrounds, honoring those who suffered there and were processed and sent through the Fresno Assembly Center at the Fairgrounds back in 1942 and 43. Tomorrow at 4:30 in the afternoon at the Fresno Fairgrounds, there will be a groundbreaking followed by a dinner at 6 o'clock. You're actually getting an award, the Spirit of Education, which is well-deserved for you.
Thank you.
But what's the significance of that event tomorrow afternoon?
Well, the significance, Paul, is, you know, there was 5,000 Japanese-American internees here in this valley that had to spend their lives for 6 months in the animal stalls, and while they built the more permanent barracks at the Fresno Assembly Center, while they built the permanent ones in the deserts 6 months later, the line of demarcation was the 99 highway. So if you lived on the west side, you went to Arkansas, the east side, you went to Arizona. So tomorrow is really important because the Fresno Assembly Center Memorial Upgrade Project is going to actually upgrade the area in front of the Commerce Building where you see it today. There's going to be a barrack, there's plans for interactive kind of a museum experience. And so I think it'll be a tremendous visitor spot to be educated, to be entertained, and you know, hopefully be inspired by never letting our civil liberties, taking those for granted. And, of course, honoring the pioneers that had to spend their time in the Fresno Assembly Center. So tomorrow's a really big kickoff to really fundraise for the new upgrade and the designers. It's such a diverse team. I mean, we have a Jimenez, a Rodriguez, a McConaughey, a Saito, a Hicks, a Laval, a Broshi. So it truly is a microcosm of the diversity of this valley that's working on it.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up. This is not just one culture that has an interest here. All of us should understand the history that was there, what was done to a whole race of people on the West Coast more than 65 years ago, and hopefully make sure that never happens again. Fibber.
Yeah.
You mentioned the camp, and you had a lot of fun there. But I imagine that, and you were a little younger, maybe some of the older people, it wasn't quite as much fun. But there had to be some sense of wondering, how long is this going to last? Are we going to be basically held captive here forever? And where are we going to go when we get out of here?
Well, those were the exact questions that I had, because I had no clue what was going to happen. And no one had ever told us how long we were going to be there, and so I had no clue as to what was happening now and how long we were going to be there.
Do you remember, as the war got closer to an end and maybe the rumbling started that things could change, that you might be able to get back to life as close to normal as it could be, do you remember what that was like and what it felt like?
Yes, I think that that's very true, because toward the end of my sophomore year there at the school there in Poston, Arizona, you know, the war was coming to an end, and my oldest brother was in Colorado working on the sugar beet farm, and so I had a chance to go out to be with him for about 3 months, and I really enjoyed that. But I'll tell you this, I was by myself, and I rode the train to from Poston, Arizona to Alamosa, Colorado. And that was the scariest I've ever been in my life, because there was nothing but soldiers on board the train, and I think I was the only Japanese there. I didn't know what to do with myself.
But you made it, huh?
I made it.
And no one treated you poorly?
They treated me fair at that point in time.
Well, I don't blame you for being scared. I would be too if I were in your shoes. When you finally did get out of the camp there at Poston, and I'm sure in the years since, as you talked to the Zenimuras about everything that happened at Gila River, maybe you kind of wish you would have been over at that camp playing ball with them, huh?
Well, yes, but by the same token, you know, I met some good friends in Poston, and we weren't as organized as the Zenimura clan over in Gila, but we enjoyed baseball. We had a league and so on and so forth, so it was very enjoyable.
Well, and if you're listening at home and you've never heard the stories about the Gila River Camp and the Field of Dreams and the baseball team that was put together, you really need to watch American Pastime, a film that was a dream come true for Kirio Nakagawa, who had this idea for a long time. It became reality, and even get a glimpse of your family in that film there too, Kerry.
Well, thank you, Paul. For me, it was an honor because, you know, I come from a baseball family. I mean, I had uncles, you know, that competed with Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Jackie Robinson and, you know, made tours to Japan as early as 1924 and 1927. And, you know, I feel very blessed, you know, to have, you know, such incredible, you know, friends of the family like Fibber and the Zenimuras and all the pioneers that came from this valley. And so to be able to just add our aspect of baseball and to be the shortstop of the Topaz team, my son was the first baseman, and you know, multitask, and to be able to be the behind the scenes filmmaker and really tell a story still that 70% of this country is unaware of was an amazing it was like fantasy camp for the other producers watching us, you know, put that baseball field and the teams together and actually play. So I could just get a small sense of what Fibber and the Zenimuras went through throughout, you know, the Topaz and the filming of American Pastime. But I think that's what really bonded us as a crew and a cast of 65 is that, you know, what would it have been like to spend 4 years in this desert wasteland with the mosquitoes biting us in the morning, and then they come back at night, and, you know, to have water and food. But for the internees, it wasn't so easy or lucky to have the situation that we had.
Well, and I'm sure Fibber has seen American Pastime, and I know he would tell us good things about it, but Kerry O was just talking about, Fibber, what it must have been like for someone like you. You were there, and I know you want to think positive, and you're a forward-looking guy, and you've been through a ton of things since then. But when you were in that camp, what was the hardest thing for you to deal with? Is there maybe one memory that sticks out in your mind that you'd really like to forget, but you can't?
Well, I think the food. And having to eat at the mess stand with, well, the mess hall with everyone. There was no feeling of family there. I think I missed that the most.
Mm-hmm. And Fibber, what was it like taking a shower or going to the bathroom and having to deal with, you know, sharing that space publicly?
Well, you get used to it, but it was different because you had one type of shower and everyone showered there. We only had one restroom. So you got used to it, but you never did really get used to it.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I really appreciated about the American Pastime film was how it wove in the story of the 442nd, the Go for Broke unit, and people that listen to this program have heard a lot of stories about that unit. But I'm curious, for you, being in the camp there, maybe seeing other young men from other families join the military, go off to war, and hearing the stories about what they were doing, was that a significant thing in your mind? Is it something that meant something to you, and could you reconcile in your mind how they must be motivated to do that while their families were being held captive next to you?
Oh, definitely. I think that's probably one of the greatest things that ever happened in my life, because I could think back and remember how it felt to know that these people were out there fighting for us under the circumstances, and I thought, oh my God, this is something else. This is something that I've got to learn from.
And the Go for Broke Center in Los Angeles has done a great job of preserving a lot of those stories. GoForBroke.org is the website there. Speaking of websites, if you go to KMJNow.com, I've linked some information on Kirio Nakagawa's Nisei Baseball Research Project, as well as one of my favorite articles that I've ever read. It was written by Mark Harris in Sports Illustrated in 1958, and it's called An Outfielder for Hiroshima. It's about Fibber Hirayama. And Fibber, before we get there, I really don't know where to go with you because there's so many stories I've heard about you, and I know we can't fit them all in, but maybe first you can tell us how you got that nickname. How did you come to be called Fibber?
Well, I'll tell you. Do you have enough time?
Well, let's try. I heard you were fast, so I think you can do it.
No, what happened is we were the only Japanese family living in Exeter, and the people there had a hard time pronouncing my first name, which was Satoshi.
Right.
And I was born in the month of February, and so they started calling me Fib.
I got it.
It went to Fib, so the people in Exeter, they still call me Fib.
So it was not for any perceived lack of veracity on your part.
Well, there was a little bit of that.
Well, and you mentioned your birthday is in February. It was this past Wednesday. Congratulations on number 80. And I'm maybe.
I think it's 59.
You're only 59? Well, here I thought we might finally be able to catch up to you in a race, and maybe not.
You did. You got me good.
And this is Fibber Hirayama we're talking to. If you're a Johnny-come-lately to Fresno State Athletics, maybe you don't know that name, but more than a half century ago, Fibber Hirayama was having one of the greatest athletic careers in Bulldog history. He was a star on the football field and on the baseball diamond. And how did you come to Fresno State, Fibber? I've heard a few stories about some guys from your hometown who kind of suggested you might be a good fit here, but how did you come to Fresno State?
Well, it was funny because it was based on a football scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And I was contacted to come play football to try out, and so I went up there and got a scholarship.
And tell our listeners what your height and weight were at the time.
Same as it is now, 5'3 and 100. It's a little bit different. I'm same height, but the weight's a little bit different. From 145, I'm 160 now.
But I imagine you were the smallest guy trying out.
Well, there's no question.
Uh-huh. Sorry for interrupting. Go ahead and continue.
Well, anyway, I was the only Japanese on trying out or on that football team, and so I just felt a certain load or a commitment that I had to make. And so I enjoyed it, plus the fact that I enjoyed football very, very much. I enjoyed the contact, and I liked to compete with the bigger guys.
Well, and I heard it was pretty hard to get contact on you. I've heard some stories about you returning kickoffs all the way to the other end zone, and guys couldn't find you on the field to tackle you.
Well, the only reason for that is I was scared of them.
What do you think made you so fast? Is this something growing up? Did the internment camp have anything to do with it? Where did you get that speed?
Well, I'll tell you, I was never speedy. I was quick. I was real quick, but I didn't have any flat-out speed, as you know, that we know now.
But you could make people miss.
Yes.
All right. And you had some kind of speed because you stole a whole lot of bases at Fresno State. In fact, you held the record here until Tom Goodwin broke it in the late 80s.
Well, you know, even there, it was the fact that I had such a good jump.
Uh-huh.
And the speed itself was not that much of a factor as the fact that I got such a jump off the pitcher.
Well, and I understand that, and you just told us, you came to Fresno State because you are on a football scholarship, but that the only reason you played baseball because you didn't want to play spring football. Is there some truth to that?
That is absolutely correct. The one reason I went out for baseball was I didn't like spring football because there were no games, there was nothing but working out.
Whereas baseball was a little more fun.
Oh, yes.
Not as monotonous.
And not as monotonous, plus the fact that, you know, you didn't have to go through all those drills and workouts.
And what did Pete Biden say the first time he got a look at you?
He says, "Are you kidding me?"
And I understand that that you and some of your friends helped out in the origin of the term sandblower.
Yes, I guess I did. I guess I was the original sandblower.
Well, I guess that's something you can be proud of to some extent, if you like. I think it's a good spot for our first commercial break. Can you hang in there for a few, Fibber?
Sure, you bet.
All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, more with Fibber Hirayama. I've got so many questions to ask him, and he went on to an incredible career in Japanese baseball, and with the state of the world at that time, it's hard to imagine what it must have been like to be in Fibber Hirayama's shoes in the later 1950s, and for more on that, read that article that I have linked at kmjnow.com. It's on my blog page, the Paul Leffler page, under the Hometown Heroes section. Also, we'll get more from Kariyo Nakagawa about an event next weekend that bridges Fresno and Japan and baseball in an incredible way. So we'll have more about that when we come back. It's Hometown Heroes live from Biden Field this afternoon on News Talk 580 KMJ.
This is Hometown Heroes. Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty on 580 KMJ.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, coming to you live today from Biden Field, where the Bulldogs play Nebraska at 2:05. We'll segue into the pregame show for baseball at 1:45. And we're talking baseball in this show with a gentleman who's one of the greatest athletes in Fresno State history and, yes, is an Army veteran, not in World War II, but a few years after that. In fact, it interrupted his baseball career. We'll talk more with Fibber Hirayama about that. But I also want to get a little note from our other guest today, Kerry Yo Nakagawa, about an event next weekend. Now, we talk about baseball and Fresno and Japan. And way back in 1927, it was actually the second tour of Japanese-American baseball players that went from Fresno to Japan. This next weekend, there's a return trip involved. It's kind of a long way for a home-and-home series, but 80-something years later, it's going to work. Tell me about that.
It's a great way to close the circle, Paul, because, yeah, Rikkyo was is part of the Big Six universities in Japan. And, you know, the Fresno Athletic Club went in 1924 and 1927. My uncle and Mr. Zenimura and all the great pioneers of that era, you know. And the Fresno Athletic Club at that time was probably one of the best teams, not just regionally or in the nation. I mean, they were probably one of the best teams in the world when you considered a lot of the all-stars of the Negro Leagues. They were having, you know, major competition. Out of the 12 box scores that we do have pre-war, 8 were won by the Nisei. So mm-hmm. It shows you the caliber of baseball they had. But Rikkyo,
and for our audience, some may not be aware of the term Nisei and what it means. Those are Japanese Americans who are the first generation born here. Their parents were born in Japan. They were born here, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, the Issei were the ones that first came from Japan through Hawaii or coming to the mainland here in the States. And then the Nisei were the first American born. I'm a Sansei. My kids are Yonsei.
Born in Japan. Born here. born in Japan, born here.
Yeah, the East, the ones that from Japan to Hawaii, coming to the here in the state, and the were North American Masons kids are you
born here? Born in Japan.
Yeah, the East. Yeah, the East. The ones that from Hawaii, coming to the state here in the state were the North American Masons
born here. Born in Japan. Born here.
Yeah, the East. The ones that from Japan to Hawaii, coming to the here in the state, and the were North American Masons kids are you
born in Japan? Born in Japan.
Yeah, the East. Yeah, the East. The ones that from Hawaii, coming to the state, here in the state, the North American, North American, North Masons,
born here, born in Japan.
Yeah, the East. The ones that from Hawaii, coming to the state, here in the state. Six American, six American, six kids are you
born here,
born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here,
born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here,
born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here,
born here, born here,
born here, born here, born here,
born here,
born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here,
born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here,
born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born
here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here, born here,
when you
North American Masons kids are you
born here? Born here. Born here.
Yeah, the East from Japan. From Hawaii. Here in the state. Here in the state. North American. North American Masons
born here. Born in Japan. Born here.
Yeah, the East. The ones that
after that
from Japan
interrupted his
Hawaii
career. We'll talk more
here in the state.
Hirayama
and the North American Masons. Kids are you
after that born here
interrupted him
born here
born here
yeah the East from Japan from Hawaii here in the state here in the state where the North American Masons
born here born in Japan born here
yeah the East the ones that from Japan from Hawaii coming to the here in the state and the North American Masons kids are you
born here
born here.
Yeah, the East from Japan to Hawaii, coming to there in the state where North American, Masons
born here, born in Japan, born here.
The ones that, yeah, the East from Japan to Hawaii, coming to there in the state where North American, Masons
born here, born in Japan, born here. Born here.
Yeah, the East from Japan to Hawaii, coming to there in the state where North American, Masons
born here, born here.
Yeah, the East from ones that from Japan to Hawaii, coming to there in the state where North American Masons kids are you
born here? Born here. Born here. Born here. Born here.
Yeah, the East from Japan, from Hawaii, here in the state, here in the state, where the North American, Masons
born here? Born in Japan. Born here.
Yeah, the East, the ones that from Japan, from Hawaii, coming to the here in the state, and the
football career.
North American.
We'll talk more.
Masons.
Hirayama.
Kids are you?
Born here.
For repeat
born here. Born here.
Yeah, the East
after that from Japan interrupted his baseball career.
From Hawaii, here in the state, here in the state, where the North American, Masons
born here. Born in Japan. Born here.
Yeah, the East, the ones that from Japan, from Hawaii, coming to the here in the state, and the where North American, Masons kids are you
born here? Born here. Born here.
Yeah, the East from Japan, from Hawaii, here in the state, where the North American American,
born here.
Yeah, the East, the ones that from Japan, Hawaii, coming to America here in the States, and the
West
American, Masons, kids, are you
born here? Born here.
Yeah, the East, from Japan, coming to Hawaii, here in the States, American, Masons,
born here. American kids are
kids are
born in Japan, born here.
The ones that from Japan.
I was
coming to America.
I was
here in the States.
I was when you I was
just American.
I was his mentor. I was his
kids. Are you?
I was
born in Japan.
I was his cousin. I was
born here.
I was
the ones that
were from U.S.
I was from Japan.
I was
coming to the
American. I was
here in the States.
I was
where. American.
Born in Japan, born here.
Furry.
The ones that